So, this is Vibe Drive episode 143, and we have one of the most detail-oriented tech creators coming to the podcast. He's here. He's live. We're next on Vibe Drive, which starts now. What's up, people? This your boy, Viper, the man about tech. And welcome back to another episode of Vibe Drive. This is the podcast about tech, hosted by the man about tech. And as I just alluded to in my introduction, I have one of the most detail-oriented tech content creators here on the podcast. He is a mobile tech reviewer. I call him the master of optimization, which we will get into here shortly. But let me bring in my man, Mr. Joshua Vergara. What's up, man? How you doing?
What's going on, everybody? My God, this level of energy you always bring to everything is always so inspiring. I have to just say, it's so dope.
I appreciate you. You know, I only know one way, Josh. I only know one way, but I appreciate you for making the time. So thank you, man.
Thank you so much for having me. I mean, you've been such a wonderful personality on the internet, and I got to say, anyone that is a favorite of Issa's, you are literally one of Issa's favorite people in the world. Like, you are a friend of hers, is a friend of mine. You know, so you're one of my favorites as well. I'm really happy to be here.
I'm happy to have you here, and I love Issa. Issa is good people. So this is gonna be an interesting question because you're like on both sides of the equation, but I guess I'll ask it anyway. First question I ask every first time guest that comes to the podcast, Josh, what brought you to YouTube?
Ooh, what brought me to YouTube? Man, that is a really good question. I want to say, kind of the funny answer is that I was fired from my last job, but that was the first thing. But I've been a fan of YouTube as a platform ever since it first came out. And early on, I want to say, I usually get the years wrong, but like 2008, around that time, was when YouTube was first like really popping off. And I would watch Asian personalities on YouTube a lot. And there were certain ones that were like, I was really into, like David So. Shouts out to David So Comedy. And I really wanted to like have a little bit of that in my life as well, to have a personality on the internet like that. Problem is, I'm no comedian. I'm not some crazy like jokester or anything like that. I'm actually very sort of like, I'll use the word chill, and some people have used the word zen. So I wouldn't have that kind of content on the internet. But after I did tech support jobs, and I was at, I did like work at a financial firm for their tech support areas and whatnot, I got into blogging as like a side thing. And it wasn't until somewhere half in during my tenure at the firm that one of my best friends looked at one of my blogs and said, this should be a YouTube video. Because he asked me a question. I think he asked me like, well, I'm looking for a new phone. What would you say are your top three? And I never wrote about phones. I just happened to like really like what was going on with them. At the time, I think I had like a Droid DNA. It might have been that. Or a Galaxy Nexus, it might have been. But it was way back when. And I just outlined like three phones that I thought he would like. And I wrote a bunch of paragraphs for each one. And he was like, this should be in a blog and on a video. Lo and behold, about 6-7 months later, it began to show that I hated my job. And I'll call it a blessing in disguise that they noticed. So they were like, one day I come in and God forbid anybody ever has to go through this, but I know it's a normal thing in people's lives sometimes. Like it's a cliche thing. I came in, half the day went by, and then I was told by my bosses, today's your last day. I was like, Oh, wow. It was a horrible day, but I spent a couple of weeks trying to figure out what I would do next. And I thought it would be another tech support job. So I was looking at classifieds and all of that stuff. And then I thought, in the meantime, if I can't find a job, I might as well do something. So I'm going to write for a website. I might as well look for a blog. And I found a classifieds area for Android Authority. Mm-hmm. So I put in my application, and at the bottom of the application, was a section called Elevator Pitch. And it said, you can say whatever you want here. Just let us know anything that you need to know about me. And I'll always remember what I wrote. If you want someone who's good in front of and behind the camera and is also very good with his words, you want Joshua Vergara. So that was what I wrote. Hours later, I get a call from them and they're like, we had to talk to you. So I thought I was just going to be writing like an article or two a week. But within the next like few days, an LG Optimus G arrives on my doorstep, And they were like, make a video. I tried to take inspiration from like Top Gear, which was like the dumbest thing. Like I have no skills at the time, but I tried to make a video that I thought would be like a Top Gear version of a phone review. But the rest is history after that. We just ended up making videos after that. That was so many years ago. And I was there for like six and a half years, I think, something like that. Gosh, it's such a blur at this point. But yeah, that's in a long-winded way. That was how I got started on YouTube.
So your work history is pretty fascinating because you used to work for Android Authority, mm-hmm. and I believe now you work for Pocket Now, but mm-hmm. you also own your, you also run your own individual YouTube channel.
Yes. The Pocket Now stuff is I'm actually very blessed because after I decided to exit Android Authority, I didn't know where I didn't know if my solo career would actually pan out as well as so far it's been doing pretty well. And it was, if it wasn't for Jaime Rivera, honestly, one of my just closest friends, and he's a brother to me, he was like, hey, why don't you just do some work with Pocket Now? And the first thing we thought of was that I would take over the podcast, but I do videos for Pocket Now as well. And it was one of those things, especially early on, that was really helpful and still is for keeping me afloat while I work on my personal stuff. Though I will say, it's a lot of work working on two channels at once. I mean, just put that out there.
I know a little something about that. So I can definitely understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
So I am curious. Obviously, you do video for Pocket Now, mm-hmm. but you have your own tech YouTube channel. I'm pretty sure there has to be some different because, you know, Pocket Now probably has some structure and guidelines on how they want things. And then you're over here on the side doing your own thing on YouTube. So talk about the difference between doing content for Pocket Now on video and then doing your own tech video.
Oh yeah, sure. So actually in a nutshell, Jaime is such an open creator and he's such a good homie that he kind of gives me creative control. So he does have veto power, don't get me wrong. So like if I do a video and he's like, there have been a couple of times where if I put a video in and it doesn't have like a clear cut, like resolution, like I'm not really giving a full opinion, he'll let me know. And he's like, so what, how do you really feel about this phone? How come I'm not feeling that in this video? He'll let me know. But for the most part, like as he trusts me to the point where I could just make the video and he pretty much is, he knows that it'll be good for the channel, that it'll be put together well enough. And he's such a great creator. Like he has his style and I have my style. And I'm really grateful that the Pocket Now audience has embraced the two of us being the personalities on the channel. That being said, I do treat the Pocket Now videos as like what I call traditional reviews, where it's like section header, and then like a long paragraph, section header, long paragraphs and whatnot. It's like writing on a actual publication's website, which is something that I'm very like experienced in.
Right.
But then when I went to my own channel, I wanted to make it more, I wanted to structure it in such a way that yes, like part of my old reviewer style from Android Authority does bleed through a little bit, but I need to structure it in a way that was a little bit more personable. And that's where the whole idea of top five complaints came in, top five concerns, stuff like that. When you think about it, it's still the same review. It's just that I'm structuring it based upon certain details that I feel like are a tiny bit more sensational, that will pull you in a little bit more. And I get it. I mean, I just did a top five concerns video on the Galaxy S21 Ultra. And every time people see the word concerns or complaints, they don't even bother to watch the whole video. Oh, they just think I'm just BSing about the phone or just belly aching or nitpicking or whatever or what have you. It's annoying, obviously, in the comment sections when they do that, and I have to like put a few people in their place. But like, I just like the way that you hear me talking right now. I'm like a pretty wordy guy, and I explain through all of my thought processes. Even if it says top five complaints, you should, if you know me at all, you know I will talk through why I feel that way.
Right.
So it's not just some clickbait thing, though. I will admit it. There's a tiny bit of clickbait there, but just stick around and you'll know why. Like,
No. Let's dig a little deeper into this because everybody likes to use the word clickbait.
Yeah.
But as content creators on YouTube, we're up against thousands and other videos out there that we are competing for to click. So I don't know if you can call it clickbait because our job is to get you to click the video. And if we get you to click on the video, and we deliver on the promise of the thumbnail or the title, is it really clickbait, Josh?
Well, okay. I love these discussions because it always comes down to like how far are you willing to go? And it's good that for people like us, we understand that because our videos have to be informational that it's not really clickbait, because I think true clickbait is when someone claims something in the title and then never delivers.
Right.
Like, it's literally just there to pull you in and then you start talking about some other crap. But yeah, that's how I would define clickbait. In my case, it's like, yeah, I have 5 complaints. Did I goad you a little bit by hitting that negative little chord in your brain? Yeah, maybe I did. But listen to the complaint and listen to me. Like, what I find funny is all the people who think that I'm just... Real quick, are we able to curse on this show?
I'd rather you not, but...
Okay, cool. So just wanted to say, that's the reason why I wanted to know. Because there are people who... I'll use the word nitpicking, because I think you know what word I would actually say. when people say that I am nitpicking on a phone, what I find so funny is that they focus on that so much without realizing that for most of the video, I showered a lot of praise on the product.
Right.
So it's not just all complaining. So yeah, that's how I feel about clickbait.
It's just so weird. And the word, Joshua, is when they ask the question in the comments, which I clearly answered in the video, which tells me you didn't even watch the video, because I answered that in the video, but you asked it in the comments anyway. Did you not watch the video? I don't want to say, why are you here? If you're not going to watch the video, why are you here?
Exactly. There's certain people who just like search. I don't know. Okay. I really want to know what the mindset, what the procedure is for these people where they search for a video just to crap on it. Like just, right. They search for a video. Like maybe they are interested in seeing Galaxy S21 stuff, but the moment they see that it's not, and nothing against these other creators, it's just that they are like the high end creators. They are the millions of subscribers creators. It's just that when they see anybody who's not Dave2D, who's not MKBHD, who's not Unbox Therapy, like they immediately think that there's no room for the rest of us. There's right. plenty of room. And you know, to spread like levels of gratitude and Zen around, guys, if there's enough room for all of us, there's room for you too. Yeah. So if you're coming in to actually comment some negativity towards us, in a way, man, you could do it too. You could actually make these videos also if you love them so much.
I'll be going to stay down in the comments like, yo, if you think you can make a better video, you get on YouTube and you make the video. Please show me how it's done. Please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And like, I don't know, maybe one of these days, if like there's going to be like a mentorship thing, it might be like a story, kind of like Karate Kid or something like that, where somewhere down the line, we're going to see somebody in the comments, do some research on them because I'm so mad at them, and then see, oh, this guy's got some chops. I'll put a camera in his hand and go, show me what you got.
God, I would almost pay to see that. I would almost pay to see that. That would be hilarious.
And then they turn out to be like some great creator like later on.
Or they flop like LeBron James in the NBA Finals. Oh, man. That is savage. Oh, man. You're right. We might be surprised. They might actually have the chops that you can do what we do, but most of them probably don't. I'm guessing.
Yeah. Yeah, most of them probably don't. And you know what? Coming from the publication side, and you know what? I actually would love to hear a little bit later on, like your origin stories as well, because I don't think I've ever heard that, honestly. But yeah, like coming from a place of writing for publications and writing for blogs and all that stuff, there are standards in writing. So like if I look at a comment and there's like grammar issues and misspellings or anything like that, you don't have the chops. I'm sorry. Like it's not going to happen.
It's so funny that you say that, because I know I make mistakes when I'm titling and writing the description of my YouTube video, but I am painstakingly careful that I'm not making any spelling errors, no grammar is things in my description. I am careful about that stuff because I want my video to look as professional as possible. So I completely understand where you look for that stuff, because if you're uploading videos on YouTube and as a creator and you misspelling words and things, it just looks bad.
Mm-hmm. You know what though, I have to say, it's high praise for you to introduce me as the detail oriented tech creator, because
you are.
I'm glad you said that. It made me feel good. I'm sure that there are some viewers out there who have followed me for years and they say, nah, because there are times when I do a video and I mess up one spec. Like
we all do. We all make mistakes, man.
True. But it eats at you, right? Where you say that it has like 4 gigs of RAM and it doesn't.
Yeah. I mean, listen, man, I just made a video last week, speculating about Apple's big announcement. I thought it would be about bringing more jobs back to the U.S. because there were rumors about them working with Hyundai. The announcement had nothing to do with anything I said in the video. So I'm just like, damn, because I uploaded the video, I think at like 6:45 that morning, because I knew Apple would make their announcement early, so I had to get the video out as soon as possible because it would be outdated pretty quickly. So I think an hour or an hour and a half after I put my video out, Apple made their announcement. I was just like, oh, you got to be kidding me. The video's already done. I mean, everybody that could watch this video could look at me like I'm an idiot because, like, damn, Viper, you were like way off. But, like, we were all way off. So it is what it is.
Yeah. I actually have another story about that. And talking about the Pocket Now stuff, when I did a review of the Surface Book 3, a fantastic laptop, not quite a creator's laptop, but it's a very good laptop. So, okay, I'm slowly moving into new categories, and it includes laptops and computing and maybe a little bit of gaming. I tried to do a Cyberpunk 2077 review, not going to happen. it's a lot of work to record all of your gameplay. Holy crap. Anyway, so I have the Surface Book 3, and the first few lines of the review are about the design, and I was just like, I was just like, oh, this plastic build, or like this hard plastic, all that, because it felt matted. So forgive me, I've never actually felt what magnesium alloy is. So when I put the video up, and Jaime, God bless Jaime, he checked the video before we put it live. He messages me all caps, "What are you talking about, plastic? This thing's made of aluminum alloy. Like, what are you talking? Or magnesium alloy. What are you talking about?" And I just felt so bad. I was like, wow, that's how you know I was tired. Like, I when I wrote that script, because when I write the script, it goes into a teleprompter, and then I'm basically Anchorman. I'm basically Ron Burgundy. I'll just read what I wrote. And there have been times where I don't cross-reference well enough. You know, you got to have that GSM Arena page, like, up on the side.
Yeah, definitely. Shout out to those of y'all listening on audio only. Thank you for listening to another episode of Vibe Drive with me and my man Joshua Vergara. If you want to go check out his tech content, his YouTube channel URL link will be down in the show notes. Definitely check him out. He is legit. If you guys would like to support the podcast, there should be a Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes as well. It is not required, but anything that you're willing to contribute, greatly appreciated as always. If you happen to be listening on Apple Podcasts, though, I need you guys to go leave a rating or review as to help more people discover the podcast, get the podcast back in the top chart. So if you are listening on an Apple device, which most of you are, please consider leaving that rating or review. And thank you for listening to another episode of Vibe Drive. So, Joshua, you are an amazing tech content creator. I've been following you for years now. But I would be remiss if I had you on the podcast and we did not talk about Ethan. We have to talk about Ethan. So I had her on my podcast, like, you know, a while back last year. So, and I asked her about what was it like having a boyfriend in the tech space. So I'm going to ask you the same question, or on the opposite. What is it like having your significant other work in the tech space? Like, what is that like exactly?
Okay, so it means that we always have something to talk about. So there's never a dull moment because we both do the same work, and it's so sort of tightly packed together that we can actually help each other with the work, which is kind of a godsend, to be honest. But I will say that there are times when we both, or one of us or both of us, have to look at each other and go, let's stop the shop talk, you know, because at some point when we're just like trying to wind down, maybe go to bed, or we're on a trip or something like that, and we were talking about what videos are coming up next, it's just like, all right, let's chill. You know, we're in Tokyo. Let's not worry about it. You know what I mean? Like, but I will say this. One of the best parts about the early goings of our relationship was me realizing that, because everyone will say, like, it's kind of hard to date somebody within the same industry. But I actually felt the opposite, because up until Issa, I had girlfriends who are supportive of what I do. I mean, they always are, but they don't quite understand it. Mm-hmm. So what happens when somebody like me or us, we say that we express that we're very stressed out about our jobs, and that, you know, this video didn't go well, or maybe the camera's not working or something like that. Our significant others, depending on their level of understanding of our jobs, would say like, oh, you'll figure it out, babe. You'll you got this. It's cool. And that's fine. The supportive language is perfectly fine. And the fact that they are supportive is perfectly fine. But contrast that to this. One time I was at after Issa and I first started dating, I was at IFA with Android Authority. And out in Berlin, I think it was I think it was Note 9. So the Note 9 had just come out, and we had our units, or Note 8. It might have been Note 8. And we were focusing so hard on just that phone that I never stepped foot on the actual show floor of IFA. So I basically went to Berlin to review a Galaxy Note 8. So Lon, my old colleague, and I miss Lon to death, he and I just worked on that. We never stepped foot on the show floor. There were a lot of stressful things going on aside from just me feeling guilty that I was not actually covering the show. But when I would say that to any other one of my girlfriends, they would just say the usual thing. Hey, it's okay. You'll figure it out. I'm sure you'll be fine. But Issa actually dove in and was like, the Note 8 is the most important device right now. Everyone's talking about it, and you're one of the few people that have it. So it is important for you guys to cover it, because when that review goes out, it's going to be one of the first ones to go out. It's going to be really good. And I'm sure that you and Lon will be able to figure that out, because you're both got each other's backs. You'll do a video, he'll do a video, and you're filming each other. So you guys are going to be fine. There's not even a whole lot going on the show floor from where I'm standing, because she was covering the show for Gadget Match at the time. And she was looking at it, and she was like, yeah, it doesn't even look like you're missing out on a whole lot. The level of detail in that level of support was so refreshing. And that was like one of the first times that I thought, you know what, this is going to be really dope. Like, this is going to work out very well. Because not only can we support each other, we can literally support each other in these jobs.
Yeah, she is an incredible individual. I'm following her on Twitter, and I'm always looking at how she handled the idiot comment that she gets on her video. And I remember you, I think you, I don't know if it was last night or one day, you told me like, Issa could take care of herself. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm well aware. She can take care of herself.
She can absolutely take care of herself. And like the, and you know what, and it's a two-way street, because there are times when I come in and I chime in, you know, just when I get that offended by what someone said about her, I go in. And then I think someone made a comment on a previous video, and she came in and she said something. So it's a two-way street. So like we do back each other up. But yeah, she really doesn't need my help. She's so good at just like putting down. And you know what? It's they deserve to be put down. So there's no like getting in the way of that, honestly. And I will say she has actually taught me to be a little bit more expressive about that kind of stuff as well. Because shouts out to Viper, always doing a weekly Clubhouse room. And we were talking about this yesterday. I gave the thought that I used to not want to get into the comment sections, because why would I give my energy to it when all my energy should be towards making the good content for the people who enjoy it? But you know what? Once you put the shoe on the other foot and you realize that other people go through some pretty crazy stuff just because of dumb commenters on the internet, that was Issa's experience that informed me that, yeah, it's not okay. And I gotta get back at them as well sometimes. Not all the time. I'll lose my mind if I do it all the time, but sometimes.
Yeah, the internet can be a crazy place in time, because people, they are emboldened by the fact that they can hide behind the power of anonymity, so they can say whatever they want. But when a creator goes back down there in the comments and goes to work, it ain't so pretty sometimes.
I love to see it, man. And again, sometimes it gets to the point where when you clap back and then they come back with just the same amount of idiocy that they started it with, it's just like, how, there's no reasoning with this person. Like, and it's such a waste of time at that point.
Yeah, sometimes you gotta know when to walk away, but sometimes, like, you know, you gotta go back and you gotta deliver the clap back sometimes. Mm-hmm. What's that quote how you quoted Terry Warfield?
2021 is the year of the clap back, yeah.
Right. Shout out to Terry Warfield. That one's up, man. That one's up. So you and Issa do a podcast together. I can't talk. You and Issa do a podcast together called Technically Together. Mm-hmm. To be fully transparent, I haven't watched the last few episodes, but you guys know I was I watch a few of them. I listen to them.
Yeah.
So I remember you on one of those, you were talking about how you have to have everything optimized. So this is why I call you the master of optimization. I think you were talking about your work environment, something you were talking about, but whatever you were talking about, you were detailing about how it has to absolutely be optimized for you to maximize your time and the potential to get the output that you want. So talk to us about why you have to have everything so optimized to be able to work.
All right. So with the level of output that I feel compelled to do at times, and also the fact that I work on two different channels, like I need to have optimization to be able to even sustain that level of productivity. Like I say on Technically Together, on behalf of both me and Issa, this is advice that we have that we don't always follow. So we are still human. But I will say that over the years, just like I don't know, as a gadget or a gearhead, sometimes you just experiment to the point where you actually find certain ways of optimizing your workflow that feel like a cheat code, because not everyone knows to do that kind of thing, right? So for example, this is a great example, this mic right here. So this mic is on a 3-section articulating arm. I don't want to blow out anybody's ears by actually like moving it. But on the other side of this mic, you can just barely see it, like right here. There's actually a ball head. So when the articulated arm is up here, the mic is pointed down. It's my A-roll mic for my videos. But on the other side of that mic is where I put the Sony ZV-1 as my overhead rig. So one of my levels of optimization that I'm always all about is I love products that have multiple functions, multiple uses.
Right.
That's what I'm always about. So this one arm not only gives me a podcasting positioning for my mic, it's also my A-roll set and my overhead set. So like, that's the thing. And I'm just trying to figure out ways of like being able to sit down, fiddle with a couple of things and just get going. That's what the optimization is for me. But it also goes on another level, because optimizing also means to me that you need to put yourself in the best position to win, the best position to succeed. And by winning, I don't necessarily mean you're winning against anybody else. You're literally just making sure that you are winning your day. It's not been easy in quarantine, I will admit, but it's a level of being healthy. It's a level of being mentally healthy that I will be able to tackle all of the things I have to do today. For example, today's not one of those days, not for any particular reason, but I'm looking at what I have to do today and I have like 3 videos that I should be working on. I did not sleep well last night, so I'm probably not going to be able to finish 2 of them. You know what I mean? So it's kind of knowing that you are giving yourself the level of energy that you need. So yeah, that's part of it. And since I am, and I've said this before, so it's not like some news or anything, I am a type 2 diabetic, so I do have to be optimizing my health literally in that sense. Right. And it's one of the hardest things to do because, I mean, what's the one thing we do in quarantine? We eat, man.
Oh yeah, no doubt about it. So it's interesting that you talk about optimization, because I am not nearly as optimized as you, but I do have a level of optimization that I employ myself, and it is about my YouTube setup. I have my camera practically in the same place. I have my Rodecaster Pro right here. I got my MacBook Pro right here, and they don't move. They literally stay in the same place. So when I need to go shoot a video and get it out to YouTube, I can literally come to this couch, sit down, press a few buttons, and I'm already into recording my video. And then I do my editing right here as well, and then everything goes up to YouTube. So I can literally come to the couch, sit down, shoot, edit, upload a video probably in a matter of an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Yeah.
Because I have that optimization in place where I don't have to change my setup every time I shoot a video. Everything stays in place. I know a lot of creators are like that too. And that's a very, like, I don't know if you, how many of you all like are brand new creative, but that's like a YouTube creation hack. Make sure you have a setup that you don't have to change every time you shoot a video. It will take you a long way.
Yeah, that's actually that's what the battle station is all about. So this articulating arm is on a clamp on the table. My light right now is on a clamp on the table, so it literally does not move. And actually, this is so nerdy, but one of my favorite things is in my office, I have the same exact setup on a standing desk, an autonomous desk. But since everything is clamped to the table, if I want to go from sitting to standing, everything's in the same exact place.
That is clever.
Yeah.
Boy, nice. So, actually, you know what? Before I go there, let's go to CES. So, as you know, Joshua, we just had at our very first all-digital CES 2021. So, I'm curious to get your thoughts on experiencing the first ever virtual CES.
Being able to wake up a minute before an announcement was pretty nice. It was pretty dope. I'm not gonna lie. And I have memories of waking up at CES, even just last year, but just waking up at like 7 a.m., rushing to get to an 8 o'clock press conference or something like that. And, you know, the most ideal thing would obviously be you get pre-briefed. So technically you don't have to go to the press conference, but one of the damnedest things that some of the companies will do is they put some sort of like tracking on your pass, so that they know you attended the press conference. What? It doesn't happen often, but it has happened before.
Wow.
They're just like, oh my God, I gotta go, but I already did the video. Why do I gotta be there?
Okay. So well, let me stop you there. So what happened if they found out you didn't go to the prep briefing?
Generally nothing, but it's just one of those things where they email you or they message you like later on, or you see them at a party and they're like, I didn't see you at the show, man. I'm just like,
oh, that's the worst.
So you get the little like sting of guilt. And then even then it's just, not to say that I'm always late to everything, but there have been plenty of times where I'm like casually going in about like half an hour into the show already. I mean, because we know what's going on already. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this year it's just, you know, there were a few pre-briefings and then the actual events would happen. And I'll admit I watched like one or two of them in bed and like, there was definitely, you know, I have to give some props to certain people. Like anybody who was doing like a live stream of CES or hosting anything at CES, they had to like get up and actually like get dressed and all of that stuff. Oh my God. Such props to them.
Speaking of Clubhouse, we were in a Clubhouse last night, Joshua, with Brian Tong and Dean and Derek, and they were actually hosts at CES this year. So they were talking about last night how they had to get up like uber early to be on those sets to host those shows. And I'm like, damn, wow.
And not even just them, like shouts out to our Engadget buddies, Sherlyn and Chris Velasco and right. The rest of the crew. Like they did it remotely from their homes, but they still had to like get right. ready and doll right. up. Like, you know, like for example, I'm wearing basketball shorts right now. Like I did, like you just have to dress this part up, that still work.
Yeah.
You know? But I will say this digital CES, there were parts about it that I enjoyed. I have to admit, I enjoyed, because as much as I love Vegas, and I often feel like the only person who loves Vegas, it was nice to have a bird's eye view of everything. So if you go to one of the smaller trade show floors, you get a landing page with all of the vendors who are there, and you can easily just click on it. You get connected directly to the person who's talking there. You get a virtual business card, their email, and then you like get everything done like kind of quickly. That is so different from going to the actual show floor, probably hungover, and really tired, always tired. Even if I have had actually dry shows. Being tired is just as debilitating as being hungover. But yeah, I go, and you have to go searching for the vendors. You have to go searching for the ones you might want to see, and they're usually not close whatsoever, and like it's just a lot of work to get to them. I hope that there are certain aspects of the digital that make it to the physical, like a landing page or like a pamphlet showing all of them and giving the information there rather than having to physically touch another person's business card, you know, because I think post COVID, that's going to be a hard thing to bring back is business cards.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did enjoy it. I do think that, but the thing is, I was really bummed out, just as Issa was, because the worst tool in quarantine is Google Photos or Instagram memories or Facebook memories or anything like that, because we see what we could have been doing. And my God, like, but I will say this. You were saying in the Clubhouse last night that this was the first CES that you were able to like attend. Yep. Like, I'm sure it was in an official capacity, but like this is digital, obviously. It's different. I'm looking forward to seeing you on the floor. I'm looking forward to you being there, and we can kick it and we can get our friends together and we'll be able to actually do it. I do this thing every year at CES that I call family meal. It started with me, Issa, and the unlocker, David Kogan, because Kogan is a fellow foodie.
Right. Oh, yeah.
We ate at a couple of dope spots in Las Vegas. He had no voice because it was like the end of the show. And then it was so funny that last year I did it again. And I just started saying, hey, family meal, go in and tell some people. It turned into like a 20-person thing. Ooh. It was crazy, but it was so much fun. And it was so much fun and so fulfilling that I don't regret paying for it. I'm not saying I will again, but I did pay for it.
Wait. So you're telling me you pay for all of 20 people? You pay for all of them? Look on his face.
I might have been drunk. Let's put it this way. If I'm inebriated, I'm that much more generous. And there was just so much love in that restaurant. And it was this Japanese restaurant. They had yakitori, like the skewers and whatnot, and just drinks were going around, a lot of great food. And we just had everyone that I love in one place. Not everyone was able to make it, probably a blessing in disguise. But yeah, by the end of the night, I was just having such a good time. And it was, you know, the cards on the table, it was a lucrative show for me. So it's not that I didn't have the funds. So there was just something in me that told me, you know what, I'm feeling this. And word got around that happened, and everyone, including Kogan, just flooding my Venmo of just like, are you out of your mind?
Like, oh, wow.
Take this money. Like, you're not paying for me and for us like that. So like, eventually pretty much everybody got to me at one point. It took some time, and I kept telling everybody, it's cool, it's cool, it's cool. But no, they got to me. And that is the community we have. That is how
I have said it over and over and over again on this podcast and on my live stream, but I will say it again. The tech community take care of its own. Like, I don't know if you all understand how we take care of each other. It is real. That's not just me saying it to be saying it. It is literal. It is what we do here, man. And you guys just got an example. Like, they paid that man back. Like, that's real.
Yeah, it was really dope. And yeah, I just remember it was, I keep bringing up Kogan because his Venmo message was my favorite. It just was it was just lowercase with a period. No.
That's what something Kogan would do. That's who David Kogan right there. I believe that. And you know what? I feel, you know, because unfortunately I've only been able to attend like one creator event in person, and I was this summer 2018. But when I was there, man, I had the most amazing time. I was at a dinner with like Andrew Edwards. There were Halfway Reviews and like a ton of other people were at the dinner. It is so cool to like be all in one spot, like you said, and just like share dinner and just talk about whatever. Like, so I get it. I hope we get back to that at some point, because it's not looking too good right now. But I hope at some point we can get back to where we can actually be in person together at these events.
It's going to be so much, you know, we're all going to look like you with the sunglasses on, because it's going to be so much crying. It's going to be, everyone's going to be tearing up. We're so happy to see each other. And like, it is honestly one of the things that I loved, or really wanted to have coming into the tech YouTube space, because growing up, I don't know, I'm not sure how much you might have watched like old school tech, like media, Tech TV, Revision 3, all of these networks that had the tech creators of the time before there was a YouTube. And those were the people that I saw constantly collaborating with one another. Like, it was an event if like Patrick Norton showed up on someone else's show, or if Leo Laporte like phoned into a podcast, you know. And it was like Adam Sessler and Alex Morgan. They were like these OG tech creators, and now we have tech YouTubers, and just the level of collaboration was just so big. And I will say, like, this is not shade that I'm throwing. This is just kind of the truth of our industry. There are times when there's competition, especially if you work at a publication. But over at Android Authority, when we were trying to like build the channel and the website up, there was a little bit of that mentality. But when it came time for me to, when I actually ran into at a CES, my rivals, and at the time, rivals, I say with the quote unquote, and at the time, those rivals were Pocket Now. So it was Michael Fisher, it was Jaime Rivera, it was Taylor Martin, it was the three of them that were technically like, they were like our next competition in terms of the website and the YouTube. I know that there was a certain thought of like competition that some of the culture had, but what was the first thing I did? Michael, sit down, have a drink with me. Let's talk, bro. And we just ended up becoming such good friends. And the collaboration all of a sudden happened. And I guess the bosses over at Android Authority realized we're not going to, Josh is just the nicest guy in the world. We can't, there's no way he's going to like view this in that light. Collaboration will be the name of the game from here on out. And that was something that I championed as much as possible.
Now, you are a man of my own heart, because if you know anything about me, you know that I'm all about collaborating with other people. So absolutely, man, working together is the best, dude. So this is the tech podcast, so I would be remiss to not talk about the devices that you currently have in your possession, because you are who you are. So being who you are, and being that Samsung just hosted an unpacked event about a day or so ago, you are in possession of the S21 and S21 Ultra, Mr. Vergara. So I gotta get your preliminary thoughts on the Samsung devices, because to be honest, Josh, I don't have much interest, but let me know, how do you feel?
Okay, We did talk for a little bit just before the show about how like we got this whole iPhone and Android thing going on. I am using the iPhone 12 Pro Max.
Yeah.
So I am using it because, even though I'm not a big fan of certain aspects of it, it is a really good creator's phone. I am sincerely hoping that this S21 Ultra can fulfill that niche in the Android space.
But y'all see the Phantom? I know you all got the audio. Y'all can't see, but just go Google, Google Phantom Black and just take a look at the Phantom Black S21. My God, that looks good.
And just look how huge these camera like sensors are. Like, this is what I'm really hoping for from Samsung. I really want these cameras to be the creator's tool that Android phones aspire to being but never quite get to. Because you know what? We know so many tech creators who, in a pinch, they'll use an iPhone for their B-roll.
Oh yeah.
And I like, it goes against everything in my soul to do that. Like, it's got to be a camera. Like, at the very least, a ZV-1. But yeah, that's the thing. So I'm hoping that this will be the case. 4K 60 frames across every lens, including the front. So there is a lot of potential here. The zoom, I've never really been a huge fan of like going like really zooming in or anything like that. It's not like I have any cityscapes to zoom into anyway. I live in a suburbia. Like, LA is like 35 minutes away from me. But yeah, the thing about, I don't know, every year there's this feeling that every year Samsung announces something, and usually 9 times out of 10 you get really excited for it because they find a way of actually making it relevant. So the design with this camera hump and some of the camera features, definitely they raise your eyebrows, and then you realize that there are certain other things that might be like two steps forward, two steps back. Not fast charging, it's only 25 watt. No micro SD card slot, so this might not be a creator's phone after all. But then again, the iPhone 12 Pro Max, no SD card either.
Right.
But I don't know. So far, I'm pretty excited for it, and I'm looking forward to doing my real-world camera test, as long as I'm able to go outside, because LA is nuts right now, COVID-wise. But yeah, like, I really dig this design, like, a lot. This is such a dope look. And it's, you know what? Someone commented on my video from this morning when I unboxed this. And why is my autofocus not working? It's called Phantom Black. Come on, Panasonic.
That wire not working. You got Panasonic over there. Come on.
It did well a second ago. Let me just say. Someone pointed out that maybe it's called Phantom. All of them are Phantom something, Phantom Black, Phantom Violet. Are you a fan of the Phantom of the Opera?
Yes, I am, actually.
Because it has the thing, the mask.
Ooh, that never even occurred to me, but you're right.
Same. I had a very different, I thought people were going to say Cyborg from DC. I personally went deep into a old, I don't know if anyone's a fan of Community, but the Kick Puncher, the character from that show, like, he has like a shade over his eye. But yeah. Phantom of the Opera. I didn't even know.
Wow. Yeah.
And this is such a good way of doing it too. Like, this camera hump is like the way that it integrates into the frame. Like, it's just, it's eye catching, and I got to give them credit for that.
Yeah.
Even on the smaller one, here's the Violet. Now Issa, shouting out Issa. Issa did her unboxing of this already. And obviously a color like this, she'll love. It's not the pink, but that's okay. The S21 being the cheapest of the bunch, it is, like, I'm looking at it now, like, the Phantom Black, cool. That's the, we'll use the word premium materials. This is a plastic backing, and I don't know if the camera's going to pick it up very well, but it is already, I haven't even used it that much. Look at those fingerprints. Look at how smudged up it is already. So yes, it feels premium, but then once you see it, you can't unsee it. It is plastic. It is going to get smudgy.
So I saw a comment about this whole, how we as tech reviewers, we're always talking about fingerprint magnet, this, that, and the other, but somebody brought up a good point about that. The majority of people who buy these phones are going to put them in a case, so the fingerprint stuff is going to go out the window.
I agree with that, but I'm glad you said majority, because there are some of the dummy commenters who will paint with broad strokes and do sweeping generalizations and say, because you know what? You know who doesn't put a case on his phone most of the time? Me. I don't.
Mark Hamm Brownlee.
That too. Yep. Yes, that is true. The case has to be useful. Again, optimization. The case needs to serve multiple purposes. So that's how I feel about it. But if you're just putting a case on just for the looks when you already think the phone looks good, I mean, come on. But yeah, I like that you said majority. I will admit, I'll concede that the majority of people probably do. It is an investment. It is the phone that they've spent all that money on. You should put a case on it if you want to protect that investment. For somebody like me that really enjoys the design, like, I'm not going to cover this up. At the very least, I'll put like a clear case on it.
Mm-hmm.
Very thin one too. But yeah, like it does, I don't know. It's a great looking phone. This is actually the optimal size of a phone that I enjoy. This is a 6.2-inch screen. I like this, and it's also a flat display. So I love this, but I know that the Ultra's trying to win me with its features and the camera in particular. So I'm going to be doing a test on that pretty soon. And look at that. I'm looking at your live chats. Aditya, who's always a homie. Josh doesn't use a case. Unsubscribed. Come on, man.
I'm thinking you're joking, but that's kind of funny. We do get comments like that, though. It's kind of funny.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, a couple of people were asking, like, which camera are you using? Speaking of optimization, I moved away from the Micro Four Thirds world. I'm actually on a full-frame Panasonic S5 now. Mm-hmm. So some people were saying GH1. I love that you brought up GH1. That was my first camera. But S5. So the same focusing issues. But I will say it probably wasn't really that much of an issue because I have it on face detect. So it was actually locking on my face, so it did a good job. Anyway, but I'm on here. My first full-frame camera. It's been a joy.
So you have the S21. What are your thoughts on Samsung adding F Pen support to the S21 Ultra? I think it's the only one that has it.
Yeah, I think they're pushing for it to be like an Ultra thing. I haven't really seen many people. I haven't really seen too many marketing materials about the S Pen, like pushing it for the S21 and S21 Plus. So it is still going to be considered like an Ultra thing. I like it. I like that they did that. Does it mean we won't have a Note later this year? Remains to be seen. If they do still have a Note, there better be some sort of killer. Something really unique about it, aside from the fact that it can hold the S Pen, of course.
Yeah.
I like the idea that you can take a stylus to these, because if you think about it, stylus /pen/pencil support has been a thing on other categories of products. So why not move it to other phones as well? Because if you were to pick up a Galaxy Tab S or anything like that, they have S Pen support. We have wonderful tablets like that. Even then, from iPhone, you could probably put Apple Pencil support on an iPhone. I think that would be kind of cool. I think the Apple Pencil is a little too big for it, but
yeah. A lot of people have been clamoring for that Apple Pencil support on iPhone. I don't know if it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen, to be honest with you, but a lot of people have been clamoring for it. So it could happen. It could happen. I don't know.
But the other thing that about the S Pens that I will enjoy, again, I love things that have multiple uses. The camera shutter button on that pen will be useful.
Okay. So about that. Mm-hmm. Samsung, in some weird reason, is actually splitting it up this time. They're releasing two different versions of the F Pen for the S21 line of phones. You got the regular F Pen, which is Gribble, and then you have the F Pen Pro, I think they're what they're calling it, with that Bluetooth feature that you just alluded to. Not sure why they're doing it that way, but that's how they're doing it.
I think it's like because it might be. I was going to make the point that maybe the pen had to be bigger to accommodate the Bluetooth radio or something. Yeah. But then again, look at how small the S Pen on the notes are. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not too sure, but I
it
do.
It's a bigger pen, though. The F Pen Pro pen is bigger. Yeah,
which I would prefer. But then they have a case that can hold the smaller S Pen. So where would you put the S Pen Pro? It's gonna be weird. Like you're just gonna have it behind your ear the whole time.
I don't know.
But I will say, if you're looking for like precision, almost mouse like control over a phone, that's definitely one of the best ways to do it. I don't use the S Pen as a whole lot on the Note devices, but I always appreciate it when I find that use. And one of the main uses is those Air Actions, is the shutter button. It is ultimately useful. I taught my mom how to use it, and she's into it. She's one of those people that will literally have she'll have the phone like this to where her thumb could hit the shutter button, but she's still got the pen over here. She's still
gonna... That's funny. That is hilarious.
I love the comments in the chat right now about tea and whatnot. You know what's funny, though? I know that my branding is tea, but I have been a big coffee person. It's just that it was around election time that I noticed that the coffee was really exacerbating levels of anxiety in me that was already really high. So I actually had to get off of it. Which is fun, which made me think earlier, you said the whole buy me a coffee link. Can they make like a buy me a tea link or something? Like I would use that.
I mean, coffee, tea is not the same thing.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
So before we get you out of here, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you. So we had like a chain reaction of events happen. I got on Clubhouse. Somehow I got some invites. I invited Aoife because I wanted her on the platform because I love how she's outspoken. And of course, when Etha got her invite, you get one invite every time, or you get one invite when you sign up the Clubhouse. You automatically get one invite. So of course, Etha invited Josh. Mm-hmm. So now we have Josh on Clubhouse. So I'm curious to get your thoughts about the platform. I mean, I know you haven't been on it too long, but in the time that you've used it, what are your thoughts?
I have only been in rooms that you've moderated so far.
Oh.
So I haven't really explored the app a whole lot. But I did, after the room last night, since I had trouble sleeping and I was working on my unboxing video anyway, I was scrolling through and there were so many rooms that had so many different topics of discussion that I was very interested in. And one of the things that really struck me, now, actually, quick question. Is it showing me rooms that are that have people who are in an extended network, or is it like anybody or in everybody?
Okay, so when you first sign up for the app, it allows you to choose your interest. So some of the rooms that you see are based on the interest that you choose.
Oh, got it.
But most of it is based on who you are actually following on the app and the rooms that they interact with.
Gotcha. Okay. Because the thing that I noticed were, and I would love to be in the audience for a lot of these rooms, there were a lot of like activism. There were a lot of BLM. There was a lot of stuff like that. I noticed a lot of those rooms and I was very interested. Like one of these days I'm going to just sit here and listen. And it was like, I love that idea because it's like, I know TED Talk kind of has a sort of facetious tone to it sometimes, but it's literally that I can have that level of information and education from people who could potentially be my peers. That's actually very valuable. And I love that. As far as the actual tech content creator portion of it, I think last night was a great example of just how there were so many people who were in that room that were just enjoying us vibing. And that was really cool.
For those of y'all that are not familiar, I'm pretty sure I talked about this app on this platform before, but just to reiterate, Clubhouse is a new social media network. Right now it's invite only on iOS devices only. It's almost like, it's kind of like Twitter, but it's audio only. So there's no texting, no messaging, anything like that. It's only audio. But I would almost like relate it to like going to a conference, like a CES. Mm-hmm. You got a whole bunch of like, you got a hallway with a whole bunch of rooms that you can choose to go in and then like sit down and have a listen to whatever they're talking about. And Clubhouse is a lot like that. So last night I hosted a TechTuber lounge on Clubhouse and it lasted 5 hours. And within those 5 hours, you all, I kid you not, in my room, I had me, El Jefe Reviews, and Renee Ritchie hosting. But without the 5 hours, we had Etha in there, Joshua Vergara was in there, I Justine stopped by, her sister Jenna Yuzerik stopped by, Xbox Major Nelson stopped by, Brian Song was in the room. I mean, it was bananas. I could not believe the people that were coming in and out of the room last night. So when I say Clubhouse provide for some unique experiences, that is exactly what I'm talking about. Things that I can never get done on YouTube are happening on that platform. So it's an amazing platform.
Yeah, and you're right that it is. It's got that conference feel because I love the term, bringing you on stage and all that stuff, because mm-hmm. there's literally a panel and there are people talking or people listening, rather people in the audience. If the platform starts to grow and grow and grow, it could turn into like, can you imagine if it was like a digital Comic-Con in sense, you know, like we just have those rooms, Hall H, Hall J, all that stuff.
Yep.
I think that would be very useful. And I would not be surprised if it started getting co-opted by CESs or Comic-Cons and all of that, because they can have those virtual ways of getting together. And it's very true. Like, you know, just as we were saying earlier, you were able to be a part of the digital CES, which hopefully will mean that come next year or any other show, you'll be there as well. And we would love to see you there. This is another way. Like, I think that was the first time I ever actually spoke directly to Farouk.
Right. I found it was there too. Right. Yeah. Like, I can't even remember everybody that was in that room last night, but it was basically the who's who of tech YouTube was in that room last night. It was crazy.
And there was a lot of education, honestly. Roberto Blake and Daniel, I'm blanking on his last name.
Batal,
there you go. Yep. I had been aware of those two. And then not only did I follow them on Clubhouse and then on Twitter, but then I looked up their YouTube channels and somehow I was not subscribed to them. So I was like, okay, now the education will begin. So yeah. I'm definitely going to be looking forward to watching their content.
If you want to be educated about YouTube and content creation in general, Daniel Batal and Roberto Blake are definitely two people you want to follow. Those dudes are legit.
Mm-hmm.
But Joshua Vergara, awesome conversation, man. I appreciate having you on the podcast. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yeah, anytime. Like, just let me know. I mean, like we said, the battle station's always ready to go. So just let me know.
Yeah. Before we get out of here, let the people know where they can find you.
Yeah, you can find me, of course, the main place to find me would be on YouTube. So you can subscribe to my channel over at youtube.com/Joshua Vergara. So that will be the handle for YouTube. Meanwhile, for every other platform, including Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, I'm trying to get on TikTok. it will be at JV Tech Tea. That's because I'm JV, I love tech, and I love to drink me some tea. Other than that, you can also find me over at Pocket Now, where I do contribute videos. I'm actually working on one today, and I am host of the Pocket Now Weekly Podcast, which I'm also editing for today as well. So a lot of work, a lot of stuff on my plate.
Busy man. Actually, but one last question before I get you out of here.
Yeah.
Where did the hand thing come from? Where did the hand logo, the hand thing?
I actually have to give a little bit of credit to, I do want to give some credit to my old colleague and friend, Narav. Narav, when we worked together at Android Authority and I was starting to build sort of the brand of JV, he actually said, you should do it this way because it's JV. I had already had that thought in mind, but he put it this way. The thing is, when it comes to... I don't mean any shade to anybody who does this, but when it comes to doing the peace sign, I never go this way because this looks a little bit too cliche for me. Right? I'm already Asian. This is too much. So I go the other way. It's the back of the hand. So I just made it this way instead. So this is JV.
I am literally mind blown right now. I am mindful that you use your hand to make the initial for JV. That is great.
It took a little while. That's the reason why when I do my intro on my videos, that graphic comes up and a little JV lettering shows up at the bottom, just in case you don't get it. And I had to do a lot of research to make sure this wasn't something really vulgar in other languages.
Right. Definitely. Shout out to those of y'all who are listening on audio only this week. Thank you for listening to another episode of Vibe Drive with me and Joshua Vergara. I appreciate you guys. Again, if you want to go check out his content, all his information will be down in the show notes, so definitely go check him out. If you guys would like to support the podcast, there should be a Buy Me a Coffee link down there as well. It is not required. Anything that you're willing to contribute, as always, and greatly, greatly appreciate it. However, if you happen to be listening on Apple Podcasts, please consider leaving a rating or review as to help more people discover the show. We're going to try to get the podcast back to the top 200 this year. So if you're on Apple Podcasts, please leave that rating or review. And thank you for listening to another episode of Vibe Drive. But until the next time, people, this your boy Viper, the man about tech. You know where to find me. So come back for more.